Did the City of London go ahead with a bid for the 1991 Pan Am Games? And if so, what will be the cost to the taxpayers? And what long-term benefits, if any, will be gained? Those questions, your comments, and a whole lot more tonight on Sports Call. Good evening, this is Gary Allen Price, and tonight we'd like to devote the entire show to a discussion of the 1991 Pan Am Games. If you are for this city's bid, we'd like to hear from you. If you are against the bid, we'd also like to hear from you. The number is 433-3121, and we are back after this. We are back, and we invite you in here right now at 433-3121. Out-of-towners, call, collect. We do have some lines available, so call now, and we can get you on the air almost immediately. Tonight, we're going to discuss this city's possible bid for the 1991 Pan American Games. And with us in the studio to answer your questions, we have two members of the bid committee. We have Dr. Bert Taylor, the Dean of Physical Education at the University of Western Ontario, and we have Mr. Jim Hardy, an accountant with the firm of Price Waterhouse in London. Now, both of these people have had substantial input into the bid report. Dean Taylor primarily with the sporty aspects of the Pan Am Games, and Jim Hardy primarily with the money aspect. So these two people are more than qualified to answer your questions about the committee's bid report, listen to your comments, and respond to any concerns you may have. So if you have some or any other comments, come on in now, 433-3121. Lines are available. Now, Bert and Jim, this is a pretty big topic, and it's difficult to know exactly how to get into it here, but perhaps right off the top, we should define what the Pan Am Games are. And Bert Taylor, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about the Pan Am Games and exactly what we're talking about here.
Okay, Gary, well, the Pan Am Games are either the second or third largest, depending upon the number of participants each year, but the second or third largest major international games held every 4 years. And the games are made up primarily of the 51 nations composed in the Western Hemisphere. And under normal circumstances, the games have approximately 22 to 26 sports offered. So we're talking about a very major enterprise with around 3,500 athletes, plus or minus 500 or so coaches and officials who would travel to London to participate in the games if London wins the bid.
All right, you talk about 20-odd sports. Without running them all down here, what are some of the higher-profile ones, if you like?
Well, there are some different sports in the Pan Am Games, sports that are not associated with, for example, the Olympic Games. We have the normals, if you like, those that are the most popular sports internationally, such as the aquatic events, and track and field or athletics, depending on how you want to call it. There are some other sports, though, that are indigenous to the Spanish-speaking nations that are involved very highly in the Pan Am Games, such as softball and baseball and yachting. Boxing is one of the most adhered to sports in the Pan Am Games. And there are some others that one might not suspect because some of the nations in the Southern Hemisphere are not as well known for them internationally, such as gymnastics, judo, shooting. Of course, we have soccer, which is not found in many of the other games. And as most people are aware, Brazil, Argentina, Chile, etc., usually fare very well in international competition. We also will be offering some sports that are favorable to the Canadian scene, such as equestrian, fencing, wrestling, table tennis, and volleyball. So there's a tremendous opportunity for many of the athletes from London to participate on behalf of their nation right here at their hometown.
Bert, one of the problems that the bid committee has discovered in its work is that this city lacks many of the facilities in which to hold these competitions. Before we talk about the kinds of facilities that we might need, I wonder if I could ask you for a general assessment, either from your own point of view or the committee's point of view, on the state of athletic facilities in London.
Well, Gary, you're probably aware I've been involved in the major games in Edmonton, Montreal, and Brisbane, Australia, as well, and I was familiar with the facilities they had prior to the games, and I'd have to admit that London is substantially behind what is available in other Canadian cities, not only prior to the games, but what the other cities had prior to the games as well. It's the only major city in Canada that doesn't have a 50-meter swimming pool. And I think it's unfortunate that many London athletes have to leave London to compete in a international-type pool. There is no major field house in London. There is no major convention center in London, which has been utilized in other cities for many of the events because of the seating capacity, for example. And there certainly is not a major stadium of any nature, whether it's on a part-time basis or a full-time basis, available in the City of London.
Someone said to me the other day that the lack of athletic facilities in this community is embarrassing. Would you buy that?
Oh, I would certainly have to agree. One only has to travel 45 miles down the road to a city of 70,000, Brantford, Ontario, which has a 50-meter pool, for example. Hamilton has two 50-meter pools. One can look at many cities across the country, and you'll find the same type of a situation where towns much smaller than London, cities such as Saskatoon, for example, have outstanding athletic facilities. And you also have to look and see where they got them. Some of them got them as a result of major games that have been held there, and some of them have gone through city enterprise and raised the funds through city and city council to build these facilities. London has been remiss in this for some reason.
Murray, let's talk a little bit here about, before we get to the costs, about what facilities would be built to accommodate the Pan Am Games and then the community generally.
Well, in order to host an international games of this size and this magnitude and this nature, there are three major facilities that must be built for the games. One is a stadium, and this has been a source of contention, as you're probably aware in London, but I think our committee now has resolved that we can produce a stadium with a seating capacity of 10 to 12,000 that is permanent, and have the 20 to 25,000 temporary seats, which will save the bid committee a great deal of money. The swimming pool I've already referred to. It's extremely unfortunate that London does not have a 50-meter swimming pool. And the other major facility they need is a field house. There is no major field house in London and district where any event which would seat 8 to 10,000 people, whether on a permanent or temporary basis, such a facility is not available in London, and this would house the majority of the events for the games.
All right. Let's go over to Jim Hardy of Price Waterhouse here. And, Jim, you've been involved in the figures, the money figures. What's this thing going to cost us?
Gary, there are significant costs to establishing the facilities required to put on the games themselves. However, we do think that these can be arranged within the funding that's available at the various levels of government, including our own local government. In specific answer to your question, the committee has looked at a variety of options, as Bert has indicated, for the stadium, and has chosen to build, or suggested, I should say, that a stadium seating 10,500 permanent seats with other seating available on a temporary nature that would be used for the games, and it's estimated that they would cost $14 million. The field house of the kind and nature that would be required would cost $22 million. An aquatic center, again of the kind required, that would be an indoor facility, $9.8 million. So those three major facilities together would cost some $45.8 million, almost $46 million. In addition, the committee has suggested a significant amount of upgrading and enhancements to existing facilities. Facilities such as Labatt Park, our own baseball field, which requires upgrading in the permanent grandstand, also to allow temporary seating in the fields, left and right field. Some of the local soccer clubs and soccer fields, we think, could use a great deal of enhancement in their new sodding of fields, marking, temporary seating, lighting, perhaps some buildings of a washroom, a concession, a clubhouse nature could be built at places that would utilize the archery fans and archery clubs, shooting clubs, that sort of thing. So we've allowed $3.5 million for that kind of upgrading and enhancements to existing facilities. And on top of that, the committee has suggested that a contingency amount to allow for the unknown, perhaps for costs as they rise, of $4.6 million, so that the total cost of facilities is $53.9 million.
Okay, $54 million.
Round dollars.
Rounded off, yes. Give or take a few dollars. $54 million. Now, that's just for...
That's
for the building of facilities.
That's correct.
And the upgrading of facilities.
Correct.
There are other costs involved, too,
that's
Jim.
That's right. The actual costs of the games themselves, the bringing of athletes here, the housing of them, feeding of them, the great deal of equipment that would be required, some of it very specialized, the administrative costs, since games like this take a great deal of planning, and while we envision a large number of volunteers, there would be a large permanent staff, media and publicity costs, and all of those sort of things, we estimate to be $30 million. So the total, if you like, costs of the games would be in the neighborhood of $84
million. $84 million. Now, where's this money going to come from?
Well, the first place it will come from is that we estimate that the game's revenues, that's ticket sales, TV revenue, other marketing revenue, would total $10 million. So there's the first $10 million, if you like. That would mean that with the committee, the organizing committee for these games would then be in the position of having to raise $74 million. The committee, in its early presentation to City Council in the spring, suggested that the city's portion in cold, hard cash would be $10 million. And therefore, the remainder, we would look to the federal and provincial governments, probably through non-tax-based dollars. By that, I mean not direct tax dollars, but lottery monies, the kind of funding that has been used to fund the 1988 Calgary Winter Games, the Edmonton University Games, the Commonwealth Games in 1978, and the Montreal Olympics, essentially came from lottery monies. We would look to that to raise these major portion of the dollars.
All right. What about the effect, Jim, on the local taxpayer?
Gary, if City Council follows the committee's suggestion and holds its contribution in cash to $10 million, the council did a review of this in their finance committee, and roughly, and it's these are stated in 1984 dollars, essentially. But the total cost on a house which had a $5,000 assessment, and that's the normal standard that's used in expressing effects on taxes, is $54 over a 7-year period.
Okay. There are other costs which would be incurred after the fact, the costs of operating the new facilities. And I understand the committee is advocating some kind of an endowment fund to handle that.
That's correct, Gary. Committee, again, as part of its review and looking at what has been done in other centers, such as Calgary, has firmly suggested that a $10 million endowment fund be established, the income from which would substantially offset, perhaps fully cover, the ongoing operating costs of the three facilities that we've talked about.
Okay. There you have basically an overview of what we're talking about here. The events we're talking about in conjunction with the Pan Am Games of 1991 and the costs involved. We want to hear from you. We want your questions. We want your comments. We want your suggestions. We'd like your concerns, whatever, at 433-3121. Coming up a little bit later after we take some calls, we'll be hearing from the mayor of Edmonton, time permitting, the mayor of Calgary, on the effects of international sports competitions on their communities. We'll also be hearing from Jack Pellick, who is the head of the bid committee in Hamilton, the other Canadian city. in contention for the 1991 game. So come on in. We have a couple of lines available. If you're on hold, we appreciate your patience. We'll take a brief break and be back with you after this. Tonight, our Bert Taylor and Jim Hardy of the Pan Am Games Bid Committee in London, and we'd like to hear from you at 433-3121. Let's go to the calls here. A sports call, you're on the air.
Hello, Gary.
Yes, sir.
And I fully agree with the games.
Uh-huh.
But first, I'd like to see all these houses that are getting flooded basements fixed first before they ever say these games can be built.
Yeah, that's one of the concerns that we've heard, that this money that the city might put into the Pan Am Games is somehow going to take away from sewer construction and repair and street repair and sidewalk shoveling and all that kind of stuff.
Because these people at Western University are so high on the hill, they don't know the conditions of these people getting flooded basements.
All right, let's get Bert and Jim to comment on your concern here. Who wants to handle that? Jim, what do you think?
I share concerns over flooded basements, too. I agree with you. I don't think the Pan Am Games, whether they're held in London or not held in London, will alter the flooded basements, though. I think there's basically one issue. It's the strong feeling that the Pan American Games are going to be held in Canada, or at least have a very good chance to be held in Canada in 1991. There are two Canadian cities in contention for that.
And I hope by year 1991 we get these flooded basements problems fixed before they forget about these flooded basements.
I hope the people, I'm sure the people involved want them fixed well before that time.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I guess, if just before you go, sir,
okay.
I think what you're saying and what a lot of people would say is, hey, we don't want the Pan Am Games at the expense of the sewer repairs that we feel we need.
Because the sewer repairs have got to be done now, because year 2000, we would be so far behind the eight ball, it wouldn't be funny. I don't want to see us move behind eight ball in sewer problems, because then we would start polluting our grounds.
So what you're saying, in effect, if I understand you correctly, sir, is that you want some assurance that services which are provided by the municipality will not be affected by having money taken away from them and put to the Pan Am Games.
That's right, because the last time they spent the money all on a certain other project, took money away from these projects.
Well, can you men assure us that money is for the Pan Am Games is not going to be taken away from other municipal services?
We're not in the correct political seats to do that, Gary, but certainly it's my understanding that the city, in its budgeting recently, put money into its capital budget to provide for the suggested contribution, and I'm not aware that anything was taken out of it or that any other service was avoided or misplaced by that money.
Yeah, I see you speak to George Vola and these guys about when they're going to fix these sewer problems.
All right, sir. I appreciate your concern tonight. Thank you for your call.
Okay, that's what.
Right. Sports call. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I presume, then, that Bert and Jim are of the positive aspect of this deal, and is that true?
Oh, yes, sir. They're on the bid committee.
You should have a negative person on that show with you, and then you'd have something going. Anyway,
well, are you a negative person?
Be the negative for you. How will that be?
Yeah, that's
I presume, that's fine, then, that Bert and Jim there want to present us with another white elephant-like, I believe. That's what they're aiming at. Because, like, it seems like everything that has been done, Centennial Hall, there's your white elephant. Horton Street Extension, there's another white elephant. And then the point that I kind of irritates you a little bit is when they say about the estimations of what it is. They give you the estimations. But it seems like that every time there's an estimation made, it's always under for some reason or other. And then, do you know who has to pay for it? Persons like you and I that have property. We have to then pay for it on the taxes, you see. So there's no assurances that when they tell you what they think it's going to be and what it's going to bring in and what the federal government is going to allow them and all that, they don't really have any positive figures at all on it, do they?
All right, you raise a legitimate concern. Who wants to tackle it? Jim?
I also, and Bert is too, a taxpayer of the City of London, and we are just as concerned about the effect on taxes now and in the future as anyone else. So I think there's, other members of the committee, they're all fairly responsible people. So we're not trying to inflict on the City of London any white elephants, new or additional. In terms of the estimates, there is always a problem with estimates. We've done our best to find with how much these facilities will cost. We've sought out engineering estimates from a very competent and very responsible firm. I've personally obtained information from Across Canada on similar types of facilities, and we think that the information that's been made available is as good as what can be. We can't predict what might happen into the future, I agree with you, but we are at least taking the steps which will avoid as much of the problems as can happen.
Mr. Caller, just before you continue, Bert Taylor would like to comment on your concern, all right?
Bert? Yes, I'd like to comment as not only a taxpayer, but as an individual who was on the various committees in Edmonton and Montreal for the major games held there. And the two games in Montreal, for example, both made approximately $3 million on the games. My taxes did not go up as a citizen of Edmonton. The fiasco in Montreal, which I'm certain that our federal and provincial government would not allow to happen, there are many factors there that people are not aware of. Of the major divisions for those games, only one division of those games did not make money, and that was a capital expenditure, and that was related to problems of graft, etc., which are in the courts at the present time. But as a resident of Montreal at that particular time, and here we had a billion-dollar overdraft, my taxes went up 4.8%.
Now, are you speaking about the Montreal Expo?
I'm talking about the Montreal Olympics, 1976.
Right. And that's what Mr. Drapeau made all of these commitments and promises that the taxpayers wouldn't be assessed more money and things like that. They're still paying on that yet, I beg your pardon.
Yes, they certainly are still paying it to the tune of 4.8% per year, as I did for 7 years as a resident of Montreal. But the problems related to that game would certainly not be allowed to happen ever again in another Canadian city because our federal government and our provincial governments would not allow it to happen.
You're trying to say that lightning can't strike twice in the same place. I think maybe you might be wrong.
I can't agree with you.
The other thing I might add, too, that actually the mayor that you should have on your show there, Mr. Price, would be Mayor Drapeau because he could probably tell you all of the pitfalls that he fell into when those Olympics were put on, and maybe the mistakes won't be made the same way, you see.
Yeah, good point, and we thought about that prior to the program.
Because that thing down in Montreal was a fiasco, and even the building, when they made the building out, the building didn't even come to the right end at the end of it. It was 2.5 feet off of the center, as a matter of fact. Do you remember that at all?
Oh, absolutely, sir.
On television, and it showed the picture of that building when it was made.
Yeah.
And they didn't even build it. The specifications or something, someone made a slip on the blueprint. And when they got around and finished the circle, they were 3.5 feet off of the building.
Yeah, okay.
And you know who paid for it, don't you?
I appreciate your point. I have a feeling that even if we had have contacted Mayor Drapeau, that he would have had nothing but glorious things to say about the effect of the Olympics on Montreal.
Sure, to get himself off the jackpot. But
sure.
What about all the people that have to pay the taxes that he's burdened them with? What about that?
All right. Good points tonight. I appreciate your call.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
It is 6:30 on Sports Call. We're talking about the Pan Am Games tonight. And once again, if you're on hold, we appreciate your patience. We do have other lines available at 433-3121 if you'd like to get in here and discuss this topic tonight with Jim Hardy and or Bert Taylor. Feel free to come in now. And a little bit later on, we'll be hearing from Jack Felick, the head of the bid committee in Hamilton. And we'll also be hearing from the mayor of Edmonton on the effect of an international sports event, a couple of them, on his community. And perhaps towards the end of our program tonight, we'll have a little straw vote to see if this community, in fact, does support the 1991 Pan Am Games bid. 433-3121, the number. We're back in a moment.
All it takes is just a little.
We had a race going the last couple of days in terms of trying to get Jerry McNamara of the Toronto Maple Leafs and Jim Devillano of the Detroit Red Wings on Sports Call. Well, I tried McNamara again today, as I did yesterday. Once again today, he was out of the office, and in fairness to him, he was off to catch the plane to New York for the game tomorrow night. I talked to Jim Devillano, and it took all of about 2.5 minutes, literally, to line him up for Monday night's show. So Jim Devillano will be our guest for the entire program on Monday night, this Monday night, December the 3rd. You might like to keep that in mind. Let's go back to the calls here. Sports call. Thanks a ton for waiting. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air, sir. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, I'd just like to, you were talking a couple of minutes ago about having a straw vote.
Yeah, I'm going to do that about 10 to 7, I think.
Yes, well, London Free Press have already had the straw vote, or whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
And I think the results were between 80 and 85% against the games. And this is supposed to be a democratic society, like the mayor, he's for it. And we elect the mayor, so he should be one vote. But the people, if this is a democratic society, the people should have a vote on this too. And according to the Free Press, there was 80-85% against it. And some people say that only the people for it voted on this, but that doesn't seem right to me.
You obviously are against the games.
Yes.
Why?
According to the taxes and the will of the people, people should, they voted against it in the Free Press. And
okay, I just want to clarify your concern, sir, okay, if I may. I sense that like many people, you're not against the games per se, you just don't want to pay for them.
Well, that too, and our city here now, this summer, the pools, the public pools for the children, they were closed 2 weeks before the end of summer because there was no funds. Now we're supposed to have millions for these Pan Am games.
Okay. Anybody, Jim, Bert, anybody want to comment on what the gentleman said here?
I'm still not sure what your concerns are. They seem to be based on financial concerns. As I've indicated, the city's calculation over a seven-year period in total is $54.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I'm not sure how that would unduly burden a taxpayer in the city of London.
I can understand that, but right now we can't afford to keep our pools open all summer.
Okay, your point is received, and I appreciate your making it tonight, sir.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Sports call, you're on the air.
Hi, I would just like to perhaps offer a parable here. I'm a director of a sports league in the Northeast here, and we finance completely the soccer activities of 350 youth in our neighborhood, and we have a basketball program for 100 kids, and we sponsor a number of hockey teams. And as a director, I've sponsored three or four teams myself, coached three for the last 3 years, kicked in over $1,000 in a lot of my time. And I really enjoy doing that. I mean, I really want to see it happen. I enjoy the participation. I enjoy looking after that many kids, seeing them get out there. You know, we pay everything. We pay for all the equipment. We pay for the land. The PUC, like, rents it to us to break even. We even grade the land ourselves. We look after all the maintenance.
What's the point, sir?
The point is, I do it because I like it. Now, why can't the games people, who are certainly composed, the bid committee is certainly composed of much wealthier, much more influential people than I am. Why? Because they want to bring the games to London. Why can't they finance it privately? Because they want it. Why can't they find the money for it? Why isn't it out there in the community that they can raise it privately so that they can, for one, enjoy what they've been able to create rather than going to the citizens and compelling us, most of whom who do not want to pay for this, do not find the facilities in their interest or as a priority for us. Why can I go out and do that for 1,000 kids in this part of the city for over a period of years? Why can they not do the same thing? Why is it they want it, they want us to pay for it?
Who wants to tackle that question? Jim Hardy is going to answer you, sir.
I think there's a basic question of philosophy here, and perhaps one personal philosophy, and I applaud your efforts in the past, and you obviously have been a person who has contributed a great deal of personal time and money to things that you want to do, and I think that's very good. And I think there are many people in the city of London who also spend a great deal of time and a great deal of money in amateur sports and other activities which are very involved in the community. I think the basic question is of whether or not we want a games of the magnitude of the Pan American Games in the City of London. I don't think there is sufficient money in the City of London, and you heard the numbers earlier, something in the neighborhood of $88 million that would be required to put on those games from private sources. This has not been done in any other similar type activity. It hasn't been done in the 78 Commonwealth Games in Edmonton, the 83 University Games in Edmonton. It's not being done in the 88 Games in Calgary. I don't think it's reasonable to assume that it would be done in the 91 Games in London.
Okay, you have made an omission there, though. Now, we have to deal with the 84 Games in L.A. They raised $535 million, more than $500 million. All privately had a $25 million surplus, which they gave to amateur sport in Southern California.
Actually, the surplus is $150 million from the 84 million Olympic Games.
It does exist, however, that because the Los Angeles taxpayers said, no, you won't get a dime from us, they were compelled to find it privately if they wanted it. And they did it. Where there was a will, there was a way. Now, it's true that certainly Southern California has a population that could certainly provide more private financing than this area, but what we have to do, don't you think, is offer a games that can be financed privately concomitant with the kind of area London is. I mean, obviously we're a modest-sized city with a modest-sized resources and a modest geographical area. Don't you think that it's just, you know, why is it, it wouldn't even be economically viable, let alone, I think, immoral to require all of London to pay for these kind of games, when perhaps it's not even suited. Obviously, if Los Angeles can do it profitably at five times the budget, then it can be done. Whether it can be done in London is a question you have to ask yourself. But instead, what you're doing is asking all of London to cough up, put their own priorities aside, and meet your priorities. And I think that's morally wrong.
Well, that's a good question. There are many things which the citizens and taxpayers of London participate in. We participate in education, whether we want to or not. We subsidize transportation, whether we want to or not. I mean, these are choices which are made by governments on our behalf, and certainly as citizens and as taxpayers of London, we don't often get the opportunity to make that choice. We can make it at the ballot box every year, or we can make it in some other ways, such as public forums as this, and I think this is the way that one can do it.
Well,
but I don't think it's morally wrong to ask the taxpayers to participate in funding some facilities which are going to be left for the benefit of the community.
All right, Mr. Caller, I'm going to have to give you the last comment here and then move on, all right?
Make it short then.
Right.
I just want to deal with one word. You're not asking the community, you're compelling them to do your will. And that's not democratic, it's not just, and I certainly don't approve of those kind of methods. And your rationalization, I don't approve of it.
Thank you for your call tonight, sir.
Bye-bye.
433-3121 is the number. It's been busy. We're going to be busy as we carry on here. In the last few minutes of the program, we're going to do a bit of a straw vote. Yes or no, are you in favor of this city's bidding for the 1991 Games? Or are you not? Just yes or no, and we'll take as many calls as we can and try to get a feel for that. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, pay a couple of bills, and we'll be back after this. It is 16 minutes before 7 o'clock on Sports Call. Gary Allen Price with you, and Bert Taylor and Jim Hardy of the Pan Am Games Bid Committee with me. And if you're on hold, we ask your patience. We'll be with you just as soon as we can. It has been a busy program, and as a result, we're going to make a couple of changes. First of all, we had hoped to bring you a conversation that Steve Howe had earlier today with Jack Pellick, who is the head of the Hamilton Bid Committee. We are going to hang on to that and run it tomorrow night, okay? Tomorrow night. However, we do want to bring you the mayor of the city of Edmonton. Now, Edmonton, you may recall, hosted the Commonwealth Games in 1978, and then in 1983 hosted the World University Games. Now, the mayor of Edmonton is a gentleman by the name of Lawrence DeCore, and his worship, Mayor DeCore, says those two international sporting events have improved his community in two ways.
The first thing it did was it allowed us to have facilities for the future. It gave us a Commonwealth stadium. It gave us a Commonwealth swimming pool. It gave us a shooting range, a velodrome. Things that are now being used by Edmontonians and very much used to the fullest extent. The other thing that it did, and I think there's a tendency to downplay this particular factor, but I considered it to to be most important, and that is that it brings together the city. We had thousands of volunteers working on both projects, and if anything unifies a city, it's this kind of activity. So those two things are what legacies are left for the future.
Inevitably, Your Worship, I would think on a project of this magnitude, there are some people who are against it. Was this the case in Edmonton, and how did you overcome it?
In point of fact, the debate with respect to whether or not we should have the Commonwealth Games was a very hot and heavy debate. Facilities for the future became the sort of slogan of the people that wanted the community to have the Commonwealth Games. And there was a very vocal section that didn't want the facilities. We eventually had to come down to almost a war that had to be resolved in city council over it. But the war was concluded, and when it came to the second project, that is the university games, there wasn't a whimper, a whine, or a complaint. Everybody thought we should have it. Everybody united and did a very good job. So it's a phony kind of criticism, in my view.
Looking back on the games now, is it possible to assess the economic benefits that have accrued in the years since the games have finished, either tourism or new business, anything like that?
I think that there is a benefit financially. There certainly is when thousands of people come into your city for the festival, the games. But then there's the added benefit that the community gets a sports field or a velodrome or whatever that allows a particular organization to bring back individual either national competitions or provincial competitions or international competitions. And I think this anybody that you bring into the city brings bright, crisp dollars that are being spent in the private sector and to the great benefit of the community.
Final question, if I might, Your Worship. Any suggestions on senior government funding and how to get that locked up early?
I think you've got to be very careful with that to ensure that you've got all of the doors properly opened and that the commitments are made. There's a tendency to hurry and get a commitment and then feel that you can bring up the financial aspects later. I think that you've got to make sure that the commitment from the federal and the provincial government are there, that you've done your homework, that when you make your application for the games that you know with either complete certainty or reasonable certainty that you're going to have that funding, because it can become a very great embarrassment if you don't.
That is Lawrence DeCore. He is the mayor of Edmonton, talking about the impact of the Commonwealth Games and the World University Games on his community, both financially and in terms of community spirit. Interesting. 11 minutes before 7 o'clock. If you're on hold, we ask your indulgence. We'll be back to you right after this.